If you're listening to That's Life here at the Nahum Segal Network, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. One of my favorite people on the planet joins me today. She is a breast cancer survivor, a warrior, a hero, a mom, a wife, an altogether great human being. And I'm thrilled that she's able to join me today. Shoshana Polakoff, welcome to That's Life.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here.
It's actually my pleasure. And first off, I have to thank you. I'll tell you why. Because I, in a million years, don't have the chutzpah to have you on the air and know that I haven't made my annual mammogram appointment. So you were basically, you were my deadline. You were my last minute thing I had to make sure to take care of before we spoke, and I did. And because of you, I have scheduled my annual mammography.
I am so happy to hear that. That's really my goal for this month. I've taken on a whole bunch of initiatives, personally and with Sharsharet, to bring awareness to women, to encourage them to really take preventative health care seriously. And it can literally be a lifesaver, as it was for me.
So let's talk about that. Tell us how your story starts.
So my story starts about a little more than 2 years ago. I was reading an article that highlighted Shawnee Harrigan's story and her experience with breast cancer, and it encouraged me to remember, you know, the same way that I kind of reminded you to make your appointment was to do a self-exam. And I... you know, it took me some time to get myself ready to do that self-exam, and I did the self-exam, and I noticed that something didn't feel quite right. I spent a little bit of time convincing myself that it was nothing, and it didn't go away. And I called my doctor, and I said, I think I found a lump. And they said, come on in. We're going to check you out. We're going to take care of you. And the doctor, it happens to be that it didn't feel like a general breast cancer tumor. And so we kind of pushed off. It was the end of summer. As you mentioned, I am a mom. End of summer is crazy time between camp ending, school starting. And I pushed it off, unfortunately, and ended up with an ultrasound about 2 months later in November, on November 5th. And during that ultrasound, knew immediately that something wasn't quite right because they were taking a little bit too long of a time, and they asked me to stay for a mammogram, and that mammogram turned into a biopsy, and a couple days later, unfortunately, I had the biopsy on a Thursday, so I had to wait over the weekend for my results, and on November 11th, I got the call from the radiologist, who has a terrible job, and he told me, and I remember the words very clearly. He said, your nodules are tumors. Your tumors are malignant. You have breast cancer.
Ugh. Wow. November 11th of 2019.
Yes.
So that is one heck of a phone call to receive. Obviously, the date emblazoned in your mind. Who was the first call that you made after that?
I called my husband and my sister, who has actually also been on your show.
Yes.
And then my mom. And I had a premonition after the biopsy. I remember calling my mom and saying, I've got it. And so I was not surprised by the phone call. I don't know what made me really think that this was going to end up that way. But they were prepared. My whole family was prepared for the results, and my mother made herself available. She came into the city, came right over to my apartment. My husband left work, came home, just that was the beginning of the knowing just how supportive my family is.
Yes.
from both sides, in-laws, my immediate family, and you are family as well. We go very way back, so you know that about them.
Yes, I certainly do, and I will also tell you that, speaking of your sister, she's also one of the reasons that I made sure to make this appointment, because frankly, I'd be terrified for her to ask me and me say, no, I still haven't done it. So, you know, between both Hulkauer sisters, you guys were great influences. Now, what you're mentioning, though, about the story about Shawnee Tarrigan and now you sharing your story, it's almost like good peer pressure. It's that opportunity to share your story so that other people can be can be empowered to do what they need to do, or to be, I don't know if the right word is inspired. I do think it's empowered, to be empowered to do what they need to do for their own health, that they may not take the initiative because they don't think it can, number one, happen to somebody they know or somebody like them. And number two, because we just don't take care of ourselves first.
Absolutely. And that's a really great point. And I am spending a lot of my time encouraging, you know, on social media, Facebook, WhatsApp, Instagram, to just encourage people, not just women, to build a relationship with a medical team, your primary care physician. Take note of your body. Get to know your body. Know what feels right. And then you'll know what doesn't feel right. And to really just not poo-poo how you feel. And if you think something's going on, you're your best advocate, and you deserve good medical care. And it's out there. And if you're someplace where you don't feel comfortable, feel empowered to find a different place. Reach out to a community with whatever you're dealing with so that you can find the best care and a compassionate team that will listen and take you seriously and just be along the ride with you.
And now you mentioned Sharsheret. I mean, I have joked at this point between the card campaign that has your face on it and the variety of different social media angles that I have seen all featuring you, that you have become a Sharsheret poster child. And I think it's great. And I say it with a big smile on my face. So tell me how your involvement and your relationship with Sharsheret started.
Sure. I had always known Sharsheret existed. I was not really involved at all with them, but I knew that they were there. They have a pink day in February. So I've seen, you know, at different schools, you know, post their pictures of different initiatives, and so I had heard about it. And then I got my diagnosis, and a couple of people said, you know, did you call Sharsheret yet? Even within, you know, the first couple of days. And I remember I was sitting in my office, as I am now, back at work after a long time. And I picked up the phone toward the end of the day. And Sharsheret has offices across the United States. So there's, you know, even though it was almost 5 o'clock here, there was somebody to pick up the phone. And I was connected to the LA office. And there was a woman who picked up the phone. And I said to her, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I know that I'm supposed to call you. And from that was the beginning of my relationship with this one particular social worker in Los Angeles. And I have another social worker based in Teaneck that have been by my side throughout this process. And I'm really grateful to my personal community. I have so much support, and I'm so lucky and indebted to them. But there's something really special about Sharsheret, and also having a mental health professional to be with you along a breast cancer journey, or any journey, where they're dedicated to helping you. That's mm-hmm. their job. And I say that in the best way possible. You know, there's a lot of complaining that goes on. There's a lot of needs, and that's what they're there for. And they check in with me all the time. RCCS also does as well. I get a monthly phone call. How are you doing? And Sharsheret, and I did mention mental health. I do go to therapy, and I have the most amazing therapist. And they guided me also on, how do I talk to my kids about this? how do I tell them that their mom has breast cancer? Do I use the words breast cancer? And they coached me and were so supportive of really any decision that I made on how to talk to them about it. And of course, this was all in conjunction with my husband, who is just the rock of my life. And then it also became, okay, you know, that was almost the easy part, was telling them that I had breast cancer. Telling them that I was going to lose my hair was significantly harder. Wow. And harder for them as well. It was just this very physical manifestation of my mom is sick, and they were going to be looking at it all the time. And Sharsheret coached me on how to talk to them about that. And they also have this amazing thing called a busy box, which right. is available for, now it's available for people who are at risk, not just people going through breast cancer, but if you have a BRCA1 genetic mutation, you can, this is available to those families as well. And they ask you the ages and genders of your children, and they send this box of tailored gifts and toys. And it was an amazing way to introduce my children to Sharsheret and to let them know that there are people out there that care about them as well. It's not just the care of their mom, but they're being taken care of too.
And the care of their dad. There's assistance and there's guidance for the spouse as well.
Absolutely, yes. And for siblings, parents, friends, anybody who knows somebody who's going through something like breast cancer or ovarian cancer, Sharsheret has support for those people as well.
Amazing. Just amazing. If you need more information, folks, and you're not familiar with Sharsheret, you can go to sharsheret.org. The website is super user-friendly. I highly encourage everyone to check it out and to, frankly, to do what you can to support it, because Sharsheret is one of those organizations, and I've joked about it before, Sharsheret is one of those organizations that wished it didn't have to exist, but it does. It does, and it serves a tremendous, tremendous need in our community. As you're hearing Shoshana's story, she can attest to that. So it is our part to support them so that they can support members of our community, sharsheret.org. You're listening to That's Life here at the Nachum Segal Network, and I'm joined by breast cancer survivor and warrior and hero Shoshana Polakoff. So Shoshana, here's a practical question, which either may make you like exhale or sigh. What was it like to go through treatment during COVID?
So I was really lucky, and I got to start the process before COVID started. I was diagnosed in November of 2019. I started treatment in December. COVID hit, you know, March time, and then the hospital started changing their regulations in late March, April. So I really got to get used to going to chemo, what it was like with somebody by my side. And so when I had to do it by myself, I didn't have to, it was less scary because it was not unfamiliar to me. And I will say this about the doctors and nurses and receptionists, everybody who works I had my treatments done at Mount Sinai at the Dubin Breast Center, and everybody who works there, they were amazing before COVID, and then they just stepped it up, and they knew everyone was going alone. Everyone was doing this without someone in the room with them by their side, helping them through those hours of sitting, and, you know, sometimes you have to soak your hands and feet in ice, and they just made the experience amazing and supportive and loving, and they didn't let you feel like you were alone. And then also as a mom and with kids at home on Zoom school, I start to laugh about it a little bit, but I used to think of chemo as a little bit of my vacation. I got to leave my apartment and go to this place that had a private room, a comfy chair, a TV, blankets. They had kosher food available, and it was just a few hours of some quiet time. And then, you know, one of the things that I think about is going back to my apartment afterward and it being full. And it was very helpful. My husband was home, so we didn't have to worry about childcare while I went in for treatments. And I came home and I got to hug my kids right away. And if I wasn't feeling well, I usually kind of just like crawled into bed. And I have some little kids. My kids at the time were 7, 5, and 14 months. So the 14-month-old, thank God for his babysitter. She took care of him all through COVID. And my 5-year-old would kind of always crawl into bed with me and just cuddle. And his teacher did a lot of videos instead of Zoom. She recorded videos, and we'd watch them together. And that was just a very special time for me to have with my son. And he is super cuddly and delicious. And he just kind of would just give me what I needed.
Amazing. Amazing. Kids, you know, they just sense what they just sense it. They just have this sense. It's it really is a blessing. I also just want to mention that recently the DeSantis family, the first family of Florida, has gone public with the fact that Casey DeSantis, wife of Governor Ron DeSantis, has been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she will be starting treatment as well. And I wonder from your point of view, how helpful are those stories as well? Those, let's say, you know, well-known, famous people who are influencers or people with influence, how important is it for them to share their stories? It's obviously important and impactful when people like you and people like Shawnee Tarragon on a minor level or a more one-to-one level share their stories. How important do you feel it is that people on a macro level, like Casey DeSantis, share their stories?
It's hugely important. And I think that there are a lot of misconceptions about breast cancer and things that we don't know about breast cancer until you're up close and personal with it. And I think that the more information that's out there, the more empowered women can be to take care of themselves. And it takes a little bit of the mystery out of it, you know, when you're going through it. I remember not so clearly because I was younger when, you know, news, I'm losing my word, sorry. Something that also does happen with chemo brain, and I don't have it back. Newscasters, when they were, some of the women were taking the cameras in with them when they went into their mammograms. Angelina Jolie's story, and now with the DeSantis family, that it's so important because it gets information out there. It makes it less scary. And a little bit, it's terrifying, but it does make it a little bit less scary. And to be able to see people go through it and be okay. Not everybody gets to be that lucky, but it helps bring hope. It helps with information, and information really is power. When I was diagnosed, the first thing that I learned was that there are multiple kinds of breast cancer, and I didn't know that until then. And each different kind has a different treatment. So there's really a lot to learn, and people sharing their stories is, I think, the best thing that they can do to encourage people to take care of their health, but also it creates a sense of community. You know, when I heard about Mrs. DeSantis, I'm sorry, I'm
Casey. I wrote her name down. Don't worry, I wrote her name down.
I actually said to Yosef, I'm like, I want to send her an email. And he was like, what? I'm like, I just want to let her know that she's not alone, and that there are people who go through this all the time. And I, like, it felt funny because I'm like, you know, I live in New York City, and I'm just, I just wanted to, I felt so much that I wanted to reach out to her, to just say, you got this.
That's awesome.
To just, having a community is really important. So I think just even knowing that people are out there, even if you don't know them personally, right, is very helpful.
Well, knowledge is also power, and we encourage everyone to go to Sharsheret.org and get information, get solid information, be advised by people who are knowledgeable, and of course, early screening and detection is imperative. Shoshana, I wish you continued good health. It is so great to speak to you. Your story is amazing. Your family is amazing. And you should just continue to go from strength to strength.
Thank you so much. This was really an honor. Thank you.
Absolutely my pleasure. The honor has been mine.